Did you, Jesse, I'll be free to hear as much.
Thank you so much.
Do we have to cancel?
I do, well, is it just not that it has to go? All right, I will call this Monday, March 12th, 2012, Planning Commission meeting to order. Kim, if you will take the roll call, please.
Chairman Lutz.
I'm here.
Commissioner Demarest.
Here.
Commissioner Christensen. Commissioner Rodman.
Here.
Commissioner Sherwood.
Here.
Commissioner Tuttle.
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Christensen is out of town this week, so he's excused. At this time, this is a portion of our meeting where we take comments from citizens on any item that is not currently on the agenda. We'll be addressing those later. Is there anyone here wanting to make a comment?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could we address the question of the agenda before we open it for citizen comment? I understand there might be a change in the agenda. There may be some people here that were hoping to speak to one of the items that may, in fact, not be on the agenda now. And if so, they may wish to come up in the comment during the public comment section. So perhaps Planner Pelka could respond on that and suggest what we might want to do.
That's fine. We had a little discussion beforehand, and I think we may be addressing a little bit of that item as a workshop. But Paul, I'll go ahead and let you address that. Thank you.
Okay. We tried to get the word out last week via email, postcard, and so forth, but the public hearing for the East Monroe project had to be rescheduled to next Monday. We discovered late last week that by state law, we are here a day or two early tonight before we should have a public hearing on the environmental impact statement in 15 days, or at 13 or 14. So we did have to move that to next week, the actual formal public hearing. Now, rather than a public hearing tonight, we can, the commission can discuss the project, we can have a workshop of sorts and take public comments. It's not formal testimony, but it is still a part of the record. And I can take a minute, that might be a good time to talk about public hearings. There are two different kinds. One has to do with legislative issues, and the other is quasi-judicial. What we're dealing with on East Monroe, on this environmental impact statement and the comprehensive plan, is legislative. It's much less formal and less of a legal process than the quasi-judicial. The legislative really deals with policy. It doesn't deal with a specific site and a specific owner for a concerted action. This is a policy that we're dealing with at this point. So it's a little simpler process. And that'll happen next week. Now, at some point during the process, say in terms of zoning, it may require a quasi-judicial public hearing. And that does, in fact, become part of the record that is used to determine the basis for the decision by the commission, or the recommendation by the commission, and later on by city council. So there's a difference there. And that decision that is made by the council ultimately has to be supported by the record in the public hearing, or any appeal to that has to be supported or related to the public hearings. It's a little different sense of formality and legal process. So we are having a public hearing tonight for East Monroe. We are for North Kelsey, which is a legislative action, but is indeed a public hearing. But nonetheless, on East Monroe, if you're here to talk about it, you're welcome to make some comments tonight. I think we can allow that. That will show up in the minutes and be acknowledged. You can also come back next week to repeat your testimony in this public hearing, but in either case, you will be heard. Does that help explain what we're up to tonight? We had some last-minute scurrying to do to get some word out about this, and I know most people heard that there was a postponement, but some were not, and I apologize for that. you're here, you're welcome to speak.
Thank you. I had a little discussion with Planning Manager Opelka before the meeting, and he informed me that when it comes to comprehensive plan amendments, because it's a legislative action, we can have as many public hearings as we want and not be as concerned of opening and closing as that's been a point of discussion in the past. So what was also discussed is that instead of having a public hearing, we would convert this basically to a workshop this evening. And if that's the case, we will, if the Planning Commission so desires, open up the floor for public comment. And all we really need to do, though, is take some action to continue the public hearing, because it was on the agenda as a public hearing, even though we won't officially open it tonight because there wasn't enough time. We have to make a decision, a formal decision, to continue it to next Monday. Any questions on that, Commissioners? So with that, I guess we can address that now. I guess we can might as well take action. We'll entertain a motion to continue.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, I think we have to go back to the agenda and follow the agenda.
All right.
And we're not on the agenda item.
Thank you. All right, so we will go back to comments from citizens, since we will be discussing this issue as a workshop, the East Monroe Comprehensive Plan Amendment. We will be allowing public comment or discussion on that at some point in this meeting. Is there anyone that wants to make any comments on anything that is not on the agenda this evening? All right, thank you. And we do not have any minutes for today. So I will go back to the question. Does anyone want to make a motion to continue the public hearing for CPA 2011-01 East Monroe Comprehensive Plan Amendment and rezone till next Monday?
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion by Commissioner Sherwood and second by Commissioner Demarest. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. So then we will go ahead and turn this over to Planning Manager Opelka as a workshop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the benefit of the audience, I'll give just a brief recap of this project that may help you think about what sort of comments you may want to offer either tonight or next week when we do actually hold this public hearing. I think we all know where this is located. It's just on the east side of Monroe, just north of the Snohomish River. The current use for the last several years in the comprehensive plan is limited open space, and the applicant is proposing to change that to general commercial, which would allow various types of commercial development. I've got some other slides, but up here we can get a little better picture of the property. Here's the property. It's about 68 acres in all. The area that's under consideration is about 50 acres. There's a stream on the northwestern area of the property that we'll see in a second. But in this slide, you'll see the river to the south, Highway 2. There's a series of homes on the ridge above the property to the north. And it's the edge of the city at this point. There's a picture about the middle of the property looking from above. We're looking south as Highway 2 cutting across the middle of the slide. And just a word about some potential benefits I've touched on in the past. We like to talk about pros and cons. This, as a commercial site to a commercial developer builder, has tremendous visibility. Has 19,000 vehicles a day going by this property. So strictly from a attractiveness for commercial use to a commercial developer, it's a pretty prime piece of property. There's the potential for additional tax revenue to the city from this, from property tax, sales tax, and so forth, impact fees. There are some number of jobs that may come with this development. I should mention, I'll mention later, some jobs that would come with this. The number of consumers, visitors that would have an interest in this property, whatever it might become. Say it might be, I don't know, it could be anything from a small shopping center to a mini box, not a big box, but some kind of a tourist or recreation-related facility, any number of things. And with development here, that could potentially trigger, ideally would trigger some further development on the east edge of Monroe, some infill development as you get back west of this property into the existing town. There's some properties where that someday may actually be redeveloped. So I'm talking about the uses that could go there. These are things that are allowed on the left. If this were to change, these sorts of uses could be done. The right side is limited open space. What's there now? So in terms of what can be done now, it's pretty basic. It's ag-related, maybe bed and breakfast, some things that would probably never happen, like cement manufacturing or extraction, sand and gravel, that sort of thing. Some limited amount of, very limited amount of residential, certainly recreation, religious. There originally plans to build a church and I think 4 homes on this property. But a very basic set of uses, of greenhouses, group homes, cemeteries, pretty low impact. On the commercial side, it could range anything from amusement type parks, offices, clinics, retail of all sorts, motel, mortuary, automobile sales, could be offices, restaurants, all sorts of services, like office-type services. Built, much more of a built environment that has not, I'll call it the right side, levels are fairly passive uses. The right side has much more active uses, including warehouses. So there's some distinct differences in what could be allowed today versus what could be allowed if the zoning did change. So potential impacts. There are critical areas on the site. There are wetlands, streams, areas of flooding. There are some traffic issues that have been worked back and forth with the Washington DOT in terms of where access would be allowed and how access might be given to this property. There is no direct access to this. And visual impacts. What's it going to look like from the highway? What's it going to look like from up on top of the hill? How would this, could this be a good gateway for Monroe? Or would it not be a good gateway for Monroe? A number of different ways that could go. The hatching in the middle of the slide, below where it says critical areas and buffers, you'll see that long, narrow reach there where it has some steep slopes. There's a stream in the blue line that you see there that winds its way through the property. The green, the darker green are the buildable areas. The gray is wetland and water. There's some shoreline areas, some active stream areas that have been taken out of the acreage, which takes me about 50 acres. And then when you subtract steep slopes, wetlands, sensitive areas, the actual buildable area is about 25 acres between the 2 or 3 properties there. About 18 on the left and about 7 or 8 acres on that piece to the right in the dark green again. I'll give you some idea of how this thing sets. This is an aerial. You can see the stream coming up from the left, and the purple is wetlands, the green pasture or grass areas or buildable areas, but much of the land in the central and eastern part are not buildable or critical areas. So the prime area of potential development lies mainly north of the river in that somewhat rectilinear area of about 18 acres. Another picture of that's going back toward the west end of the property. This is the shoreline area, and that stream I talked about that is winding through the property from east to west, or west to east. So this is a little bit farther east of that, a little more toward the middle of the property. Here's that stream coming back down toward Highway 2. These are both this slide and this slide are looking south. That's Highway 2 in the top part of the slide. And in terms of floodplain, the area that you see in the western part of the property, north of Highway 2, below the single-family lots up there that's shaded in, that's a 100-year floodplain. The rest of the property is now in a 500-year floodplain, which basically means that there's a 1 in 100 chance of this property flooding every 100 years, which is fairly significant. It doesn't mean that you flood this year and it's 100 years before it happens again. There's a 1 in 100 chance it could happen next year or 5 years from now. FEMA's been going through quite a bit of work the last few years and has redesignated this area mostly as a 100-year floodplain, but that is subject to quite a bit of controversy and potential change. Nothing's been settled, but FEMA's hoping to arrive at some solutions sometime in 2013. And what it really comes down to is whether Highway 2 effectively acts as a dike or can effectively hold back floodwater from this property. There's some issues about that I see it may be resolved in the future. But the property is fairly low. You know, it sits at about flood elevation. So if were to be developed, there would have to be some fill, quite a bit of fill brought in to make it buildable in that buildable area, not in the wetlands, but in the pasture grass area. And a quick word, I think this is about the last slide, about DOT. The line, that purple line coming down that's labeled Phase 2 Bypass, is the east edge of the Highway 2 bypass. That I believe that railway has been in place for, I forget how many decades.
1965.
It's too many to count on hands and toes. But that is right-of-way that intersects with Highway 2 at that point, which would be a roundabout or a traffic circle. When you go further east, and I figure I don't have the pointer tonight, but north of the river and east toward the right end of the slide is where DOT will allow access to be granted to this property, which would be another traffic circle at that point. So if I were to build on the western end of this property, my access would actually be maybe a quarter mile to the east to come in and out on Highway 2. And that's it for a slideshow. So that's a brief picture of the property, introduction to the property. I'd be happy to take questions from the commission and the commission at some point will open it up possibly for public comment. And Mr. Chairman, I'll turn back over to you.
Thank you. Before we do start our discussion, I wanted to see if you could maybe point out this process. And one is, I want to apologize if a lot of people took time out this evening to come out and make a discussion on a public hearing, and it looks like you're being asked to come back again next week, and I hope you'll be patient with us and do come out. But you will have an opportunity again to speak tonight. Could you go over the process here? Because I believe we're having two public hearings on this particular comprehensive plan amendment. The first part is really the environmental impact, and then the second one, which will happen later, will be on the comprehensive plan amendment itself.
Right, that's exactly correct. And I can throw out some dates here. The commission's been on this, I think, twice before. And we really started looking at this back in the fall when it was put in our work program to go through this whole process of review and recommendation to City Council this year. This is all going to wrap up by, right now we're targeting early July to make final decisions about this project and First Air Field, which is in for another comprehensive plan amendment, as well as the North Kelsey project. But tonight, the public hearing, as I said earlier, that was scheduled for tonight on the environmental impact statement had to be moved to next week, March 19th, Monday, March 19th, 7 o'clock. That is about the environmental impact statement. Following that, the commission will have a workshop on March 26th and a public hearing for the comprehensive plan amendment along with a workshop. I'm sorry, there's no public hearing on the 26th. We have, I haven't listed here, but we had planned to hold a public hearing at the end of the process, and I neglected to delete this one from the 26th. However, March 26th, a workshop where the commission will have some discussion, they can take comments from the audience. April 9th, a workshop to discuss the project, and this is where we're really trying to work through issues and getting ready to make a recommendation to council. April 23rd, there is a public hearing, and that night the commission will make a recommendation to council. They will decide on a recommendation to move it forward, recommend to approve, to deny, to approve it with, you know, certain other possibilities, certain other conditions potentially. But April 23rd is the final scheduled review with the Planning Commission and again a public hearing. So March 19th, public hearing, March 26th, workshop, April 9th, workshop, April 23rd, public hearing, recommendation to council. From there, just very quickly, it goes to council in April and May and comes to a conclusion in June and July. There'll be a total of four, perhaps five meetings in that time period between mid-April and the end of June. So several more meetings to go. Hope there's not too much information.
Thank you. And real quick, so basically, that April 23rd public hearing here with the Planning Commission will be the last official time for public comment on this. Is that a correct assessment, or is that somewhat of a misleading statement there? It's the last public hearing, at least.
That's the last public hearing scheduled. It's the last meeting with the Commission. It does go to Council, and there could well be a public hearing held with the Council as well. There is no limit on the number of public hearings we hold on this subject, but there should be, could well also be public input at those council meetings, depending on how those are structured.
Great, thank you. So it's not really, a public hearing hasn't been scheduled for the City Council, but...
No, not at this point.
All right, thank you.
Not a formal public hearing.
Thank you. Commissioners? Dave?
Paul, is it fair to say, Albert, that at the April 23rd, hearing, the record or the hearing opportunity on the phase EIS will be closed. That will be overdone.
That will be passed, yes.
So the comments on the 23rd would be limited to the comp plan amendment itself.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's true.
Any other comments or questions for staff, commissioners? Dave?
At least before we go to any comments the public might have, Paul, I think it would be helpful, at least for me, and I'm certainly no expert on SEPA, but in the introduction to next week's hearing, which I know will be more comprehensive than tonight's because this is really just an overview, there's a couple things with regard to the SEPA process that I would appreciate your addressing or someone addressing. First would be the requirements under SEPA for the identification of alternative proposals under the environmental review. Having read the document that's out, it seems to me that the alternative really is just it's a reduction in size more than anything else, in that it quote takes out those areas that are not currently located in native growth protection area, wetland stream, or critical area buffer. Other than that, the alternative is really no different than the proposed action, at least from the way I'm reading that. So if there could be some additional comment next week on that and how that qualifies, I guess, as an alternative. Secondly, from the little bit I do know about SEPA, it's my understanding that in a phase review, the purpose is to look at the property and the impacts of the proposal on a broad basis, including analysis of the impacts that could be generated by any of the allowed uses under the proposal, and that the project reviews that will come later will drill in on a specific project proposal that may have potentially less impacts than what could potentially be experienced under full development or full build-out of the area, given the proposed land use designation and zoning. So I guess I would appreciate staff sharing with me next week and everyone how the environmental document that's in front of us satisfies that requirement. Because as I read it, it seems like there's really very little mitigation that's proposed in it. More than once it says that impacts, to paraphrase, will be evaluated on a per project basis, but those projects aren't known at this time, so we can't do any evaluation. My concern is that, my understanding is that with the phase review, it's supposed to look at the big picture and the big potential. And so some comments from staff in that regard would be appreciated.
Okay.
Thank you.
Commissioners, any other for staff or comments? I'm surprised. Usually we're very talkative before we consider going to public. I have one thing, just a comment I wanted to make on the impacts. It listed in here bull trout distribution and Chinook distribution, and I can assure you that those are not the only fish in this river. There are chump salmon, there are coho, there are steelhead. So anyway, there's a lot more fish than that that are in this Skycomish than what was on the report. Well, if nobody else has any questions or comments, I guess we can go ahead and open it up for some public testimony. The commissioners, anybody opposed to that? Now, usually when we have a workshop, we usually limit it to more like an informational thing, but I know many of you probably came here to get opinions too. And I think at one point we did have a sign-up sheet, but I don't think we do, so we'll just raise your hand and we'll go ahead and call on you. Mr. Walson, go ahead and come on up. If you could give your name and address for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Fred Walser, P.O. Box 237 here in Monroe, about two blocks away, actually. And I am here representing the U.S. 2 Safety Coalition, which is a group of folks from Skycomish to Everett concerned with safety on U.S. 2 and have been for the past 14 years. As part of our efforts, we have tracked both the total number of crashes, serious injury crashes, and fatal crashes on US 2 since January 1, 1993. And as of today, there have been 91 fatal crashes on US 2 between Mile Post 3 and Skycomish, fairly high. In fact, it is the highest in the state. And US 2 is rated one of the most dangerous highways in the state. And particularly, Mile Post 14 to 15 in Monroe was the single highest crash rate in the state of Washington in 2001, there was 112 crashes in that 1 mile corridor, or from 522 exit to Main Street. on US 2 specifically. And those kinds of things are why we exist, because nobody's paid attention to US 2. It's been kind of the lonely child out here, viewed as a farm-to-market road for a long time. And Mr.
Popelka,
was very accurate in his giving you the traffic count, because we have run our own traffic surveys. There are, in fact, just over 19,000 vehicles a day travel east from Monroe on US 2. That does not take into account holiday weekends when that quadruples. And if you've lived here for any period of time, as I have, I've seen traffic stop dead on US 2 going east and coming west on holidays. And I see Mr. Roiland shaking his head. He's well aware of it. My point in being here today is to talk about what we're trying to do now to change some of this. And we are actively partnering with the City of Monroe and to fund the US 2 bypass, which you had a picture of it on your on one of your slides at the beginning. Yeah, here we go. This is the eastern terminus of the bypass, which will go completely around Monroe, behind the fairgrounds, clear out and connect with US 2 out of the Westwick Road. And with this, as part of the US 2 route development plan, which we were able to fund and finally get a workable plan for US 2 on how to make fixes out here, and that was done in 2004. The recommendation on the route development plan is to four-lane US 2 from Monroe to Sullivan and make it a limited access highway. There's several reasons for that. There's been 17 crossover collisions on US 2 between Monroe and Sullivan in that time frame that I mentioned. That's the highest rate in 8 miles, 17 crossover head-on collisions. There's been multiple injury collisions and a lot of property damage collisions in this stretch of road. This design, this roundabout and so forth, that's only preliminary, and don't get fixated on a roundabout to get into Monroe, because that may not happen. This may actually become a flyover and an underpass. And at the east end, where we're talking about this land development, with a roundabout to give access into that property, that may not happen with a limited access four-lane highway. May have to be some kind of a overpass structure built, if the DOT will even allow that. And I can tell you that the DOT representatives that attend our monthly meetings and I and our board have discussed the plan to develop the east end of Monroe, and in short, we're very much opposed to it. Because of the traffic impact and the safety aspects that that would introduce into this US 2 problem that already exists, we believe it will exacerbate it enormously. So we went on record 3 or 4 years ago when this first came up with a letter to Snohomish County, the state of Washington, the DOT, and somebody else, I think it was the environmental agency, and the City of Monroe, opposing any change in the development out there to commercial because of the impacts on traffic. And we still stand with that. The Board of Directors of the Safety Coalition is very much opposed to commercial development at that end of town because of the traffic impacts. And we'll come back at your public hearing, maybe next, I guess it's next week, to reiterate that for you. We wanted you to know Highway 2, if you don't know, is extremely dangerous. And to put further commercial development out there is going to cause more problems than it will mitigate. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions, Mr. Walzer?
Yeah.
Jeff?
Before you go, you said there would be a limited access freeway. That's the preferred alternative.
That's in the development plan.
Then that would be a taking of this property, because this property would no longer have access. Was that issue addressed when you were talking about the route
I'm not sure it's a taking of the property because the DOT owns 60 feet either side of the center line right now, which is plenty of land to put in a four-lane highway.
But if it's limited access...
But there is access.
Access is not legal.
There is access from the out where the Red Barn is into that property. And in fact, the DOT has mentioned the frontage road concept for that purpose.
It would come from that direction.
That's my understanding. Within, I'm not an engineer here, so I can't.
Within the right-of-way?
Within the right-of-way, right. Or adjacent, directly adjacent to it, where they'd have to purchase it or whatever.
Okay. Thank you.
Wayne?
Fred, a little bit west of the, on the Purple Road there, the other roads, Chain Lake coming down the hill and so forth. Has anybody ever said how that's going to affect that bypass? Is it
there'd be a in the design proposals, there's going to be an overpass. If this were the old Owen Road, next to it is, that will overpass the Owen Road. It will overpass Chain Lake Road.
Okay.
Come up to a roundabout where 522 comes in, because 522 would be extended north. That's called Phase One.
Right.
Going to a roundabout. And then a feed off from that roundabout directly onto the Chain Lake Road, so that traffic will not have to come onto US 2 as they do now to take the Chain Lake Road to go north.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions or comments? Thank you, Mr. Wolf.
Thank you.
Can I have a question? Is that the same plan they had in 1970?
Yeah.
It's the same original one we're coming back out?
I'm sorry, if you could maybe. If you want to address the planning commission, that's great. If you want, you can ask some questions out from the lobby. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else wanting to address the planning commission on this item in the audience tonight? Sir?
Yeah.
If you could step up to the podium and give us your name and address for the record, please.
Doug Hamlock. I live at 21122 Calvin Road.
Thank you.
I'm probably just going to say what I have to say for the next meeting. So, but I'd like clarification on this bit about the postcard I got said the last time to submit any comments was the 31st of this month. So what is it? Is there more time to comment up through the, what was it, the 23rd of April or something like that?
The comment period for the environmental impact statement is the month of March.
Yeah.
I believe that's on March 30th for submittal of written comments for the environmental impact statement. And the public hearing on the 19th next week is specifically for verbal comments on the impact statement. But then beyond that, there will be, you can submit written comments anytime, and that virtually any commission meeting can come and potentially speak, especially at the public hearing in April, about the comprehensive plan amendment, not the environmental impact statement specifically, but about the proposal for changing to commercial. But there is a formal comment period required by state law for 30 days for the impact statement.
That makes sense. It might be clear as mud. But yeah, we have an environmental impact statement that we're discussing tonight, and that we will have a public hearing on, and taking public comment on that. It's specifically geared towards the environmental impact statement on this particular project. And then in the future, when we have our next public hearing in April, it'll be for the comprehensive plan amendment that is being proposed, changing this from limited open space to general commercial like that.
That's right, and I get one more comment in that regard. If comments that are submitted for the impact statement during the comment period until March 30th will become part of the record, and there will be a formal response in that document. If you submit a written comment in the middle of April, it won't be a part of the intake of comments and response. Technically, it won't count for the environmental impact statement. I mean, it'll still be in the record with the commission and so forth, but it would not become a part of the actual impact document.
Thank you. Paul, and real quick, if they wanted to make a written statement other than just coming here tonight and next week on the environmental impact statement, if they want to make a written statement on that, who do they send that to? Is there information for them on that?
There is some information on the web and on the impact statement itself, but you can simply address it to City Hall, and it'll find its way to the right person if you don't have a specific name. It'd be simple to say, just address it here and we'll take care of it.
Thank you. Is there anybody else wanting to make any comments on the environmental impact statement regarding this project tonight? All right. Then, commissioners, any other questions or comments this evening on this? Looks like we'll be carrying this on until next week when we have our public hearing. We open the public hearing on that, so we will move forward. And again, we have another public hearing. This one is on North Kelsey and the downtown plan update, and I discussed again with planning manager Opelka on the fact that we can have a public hearing. We can even, if I understand correctly, is this correct, we can close a public hearing and then have another one later to make a decision? Because it's a legislative action, is that correct?
This
on North Kelsey and downtown update?
Yes, that is a policy-based legislative action. So right now we have scheduled, I believe, two public hearings with the commission. One tonight and another one on April 23rd, which is also the night that's scheduled for commission to make a recommendation to the council. But we have those two scheduled. And as I said before, that, you know, there, of course, citizens can typically make comments during workshops during that time as well.
Thank you. So, commissioners, I just want, traditionally we have always done our public hearings on the day of action, and this is a kind of a change for us, so I think we understand that we're allowed to do this. So,
that's right. We would not continue the hearing tonight to April. We would close it and then initiate it on a second public hearing next month.
Great. All right, thank you. Any questions on that, commissioners? Excellent. With that, I guess I will introduce this. This is CPA 2012-B, North Kelsey and Downtown Plan Update. And Mr. Opelka, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. This project has to do with the North Kelsey plan and the downtown plan and their place in the comprehensive plan, which is the overriding guidebook for development of the city. This action is being taken, let's see if I can summarize this without going on too long here. The objective behind the North Kelsey action, number one, is to remove that plan from the comprehensive plan, because as it stands now, this entire North Kelsey plan is a part of the comprehensive plan. That comp plan, it's all about goals and policies. It's not about rules and regulations. And there are parts of the North Kelsey plan that are simply not, that should not be in the comp plan. We're talking about apples and oranges. So we're trying to resolve that issue by pulling the North Kelsey plan from the comp plan and then reincorporating, or in this case, even leaving in goals and policies related to this. But the rules and the regulations and how it's going to be built are in the zoning code. Now, the problem with North Kelsey is that this is what was envisioned 10, 12 years ago. It was a more of a pedestrian scale, mixed use development that did not entertain widespread use of big box uses. There was a lot of effort put into this plan back around 2000, 2001, and this was the end result. This is a conceptual development plan that has these areas for parking that ring a, it's almost like a traditional shopping mall, but it's turned inside out a bit. It's not a single building with a climate-controlled interior. It's a open-air mall, if you will, that caters to a variety of shops and creates a pretty distinct environment, which includes a village green or a civic plaza in the center of this project. But the way this property has developed, let me touch on this first. In the comp plan, which is where this language belongs, is now one goal and one policy related to North Kelsey. The goal is to create a vibrant mixed-use place that has a visible and accessible commercial and civic town center, which also has a lot of similarity to what we really wish for downtown. But these North Kelsey was intended to develop in conjunction with and in complement the downtown area. That's one goal, and there's one policy that simply says make the development match the plan. Let North Kelsey be developed as it's intended to in the North Kelsey Master Plan. So this is what it looks like today. Lowe's is there in the center right of the slide, just below Tierney and west of Chainlink. Galaxy Theater on the northwest there is a little smaller, but you can see that it's a fairly large structure. Fred Meyer on the west, just east of the 522 exit there. The northeast corner of the property, north of Lowe's, is being taken by Walmart. That entire, those two parcels there are being taken in their entirety by the Walmart project, which is now actually headed back for a courtroom in appeal. But this has not developed and will not develop anywhere close to its original vision. Changes in the market, changes in the economy, changes in what was really appropriate and doable in Monroe have changed dramatically in the last 10, 12 years. So the intent of this action is to unload North Kelsey from the comp plan, go back, retain the design guidelines that are there, which are in fact part of the zoning code now. They are enforced in the zoning code. But to retain those design guidelines for building construction, but let it develop as it is being developed. More of the big box, the larger scale, automotive oriented. Key being, North Kelsey is really dependent on the automobile. You don't walk around North Kelsey from Walmart to Fred Meyer to Lowe's. It's not in the same scale as downtown. Downtown needs to develop as it should develop and as it wants to be, as a place where you don't drive from Main Street Books to M&M Antiques. Maybe some people would, but it's not auto-dependent. It's dependent on people that will park once and get out on their feet and shop with their feet. And the other aspect of this is that NextCore is a development group that's looking to develop 51,000 square feet of medical office building or buildings immediately west of Lowe's. Another large single-use user. That'll bring people to the North Kelsey and bring primary jobs to the North Kelsey, which would be a real boon for this community. But it fits that mold of the larger scale, auto-dependent kind of use. So the process is that we repeal the North Kelsey plan from the comprehensive plan. We have this plan, that plan, this plan, that plan. But there is one goal now in that, and one policy related to North Kelsey. I think that should be beefed up with some additional policies that get a little more specific about what we should be doing with North Kelsey. The comp plan gives the direction. It tells you what I intend to do and what I should do so that you go forth and build it that way, I being the comprehensive plan. We repeal the downtown plan from the comprehensive plan for the same reasons. The downtown guidelines stay intact, and the downtown plan, master plan, stays intact. However, it's not tied to the comp plan because the policies and the basic intents do belong there. So we need to put back in the comp plan some goals and policies for downtown, because right now there aren't any. North Kelsey got one, but downtown didn't get any. So there's some work to be done to remove the plan, but put back the kind of goals and policies and direction that need to be there so that the downtown plan can continue to be implemented. And just one last comment there, that comp plan, it really defines what the zoning code should be. It's intentionally driven that you make your decisions in the comp plan, and then you apply those decisions in the zoning code. That's where the rules, the regulations, and is it 1 square foot or 50 square feet or 6 feet or 10 feet? That's where you find that. I could talk for a long time about this. I think I've said enough. So, public hearing tonight, and really this is for informational purposes. We want to, if you're here for North Kelsey, our intent is to, our hope is to hear from the citizens on what the potential issues are with this process and what your concerns are related to future development of the North Kelsey and how we might address it in the comprehensive plan. So, Chairman, I'll turn it back.
Great, thank you. And before we go to public comments, commissioners, any questions? Commissioner Kubelka on this before we open it up to the public? Dave?
Paul, so I understand we're meeting tonight. We have the opportunity for public comment. We have the opportunity for commission comment. And next time we get together, we're going to see in front of us a document that sets forth the proposed changes to the comp plan, relevant comp plan documents to North Kelsey, the downtown area. And we're going to come up in that one meeting with a recommendation to the city council, a preliminary recommendation. That's what I understand.
That's the way the schedule is set up right now. Frankly, I have some questions about the preliminary recommendation to council. I'm not sure we're going to be ready to make any sort of preliminary recommendations. But there are a couple of steps to this. One is to, as I said, remove the kind of detached plans, reinforce North Kelsey in the comp plan, and a third would be reinforcing the downtown content to that plan. So there's quite a bit of work to be done with that. Now we can separate this out into those three pieces. We can do the detachment, deal with North Kelsey, and deal with downtown. Really where we're headed toward is some preliminary recommendation or preliminary status to the council after our March 26th meeting. Workshops on the April 9th and a workshop on April 9th and a public hearing and final recommendation on April 23rd. So we have only three or four meetings to deal with this, which, you know, I think we've agreed that North Kelsey is pretty straightforward. If there's additional reinforcement to be molded back into the comp plan, we can certainly do that. Downtown is a little more complicated. And it may want to take more time. It may want to be phased in. The feedback in the comp plan may want to be phased in at a later date, unless we can come up with some good beginning material at this point. I think it might be good to have the beginnings of something in there. But targets at this point.
Targets that have some flexibility, perhaps?
Perhaps. but we are in line for that. You know, the ultimate target is July 3rd for approval of all comp plan amendments. As I discussed before, all comp plan amendments have to be approved and acted upon at the same time by the city council. So,
thank you. Yeah, I think maybe instead of calling it a preliminary recommendation, more of an update from council.
Updates are better. They are. We're not going to be in a position to make a recommendation, but certainly an update and staff report. Council likes to get some informational updates once in a while on some projects like this, is my understanding. And I know of interest in this in particular, the whole North Kelsey process.
Well, I understand that they recognize that this is a pretty lengthy process, so I think they want to, they're hoping that we'll be able to stay on track. Any other questions or comments?
Just one. Paul, can you go back to your the goals and policies screen you had up there, please?
This one?
Yes. Looking at land use goal number two, what would you envision, what does staff envision mixed-use development would be? I mean, I think mixed-use is defined in a lot of different ways, and I'm curious if there's any thought as to what staff envisions it as being.
What I do not envision it as is being built in North Kelsey.
I don't know that that helps me a whole lot, Paul.
Mixed use, I see downtown as a natural mixed use environment, and of course we've been done a lot of rezoning the West Main Core for mixed use, but that tends to address a not necessarily smaller scale, but in total, but a mix of different attractions, different uses. Could be stores, food service, offices, residential. Not large single users. Walmart is a single user. Lowe's is a single user. They have a variety of products, but it's one source. Mixed use really, more than anything, implies a much finer scale and a much finer grain of types of stores and places. It implies, by the fact that there's mixed use, more pedestrian activity. And North Kelsey is not. The original plan, this plan, could be developed as seen as mixed use. It's got offices, it's got retail. I assume it may also have residential, either horizontally or vertically, meaning it could be residential in the same buildings. But there is a much more variety of uses and amenities, like the Village Green or the Civic Plaza as a part of this. It's not strictly a shopper-driven shopping center. Big difference.
Thank you.
So I don't think North Kelsey is mixed use, nor will it ever be.
Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions or comments? All right, then I will go ahead and open up the public testimony portion of this public hearing. We have a list here. And we have one name on that, Doug Hammer, is that correct?
That's me. I was with the other one, actually. I would like to ask.
Yeah, if you could just step up and give us your name and address for the record, and then we'll...
Doug Hammer, 2102 Calvin Road.
And this is a public hearing, so I will ask, is the testimony you were about to give the truth? If so, say I do. Thank you.
If you take North Kelsey out of the comp plan and downtown out of the comp plan, what's left in the comp plan?
Not to beat the cheese, but about this much. It has several different chapters. These are the North Kelsey and downtown plan are standalone referenced documents to the comprehensive plan, but it has land use, transport. The comp plan has chapters on land use, transportation, natural areas. I'm drawing a blank here. Housing, utilities, public facilities, open space, park recreation, that are not specific like North Kelsey or like downtown, but they were adopted as reference to that one.
So the East Monroe place is still in the comp plan. That's in the comp plan.
Right. It's part of the land use plan, which designates it now as limited open space. And it's a part of the critical areas plan that is incorporated in the natural areas chapter of the code.
You take everything out of it, it just becomes irrelevant. It disappears.
No. These are the North Kelsey and downtown plan are really like almost like an appendix, a separate attachment to the comp plan. They're let's say they're apples and oranges. They're related, but they're both fruit, but they're not the same thing by any means.
Okay. Yeah.
It's hard to understand. It's really kind of confusing and complicated.
Yeah, the comprehensive plan, if I make another stab at it, say like for a residential neighborhood or an area, it has a designation, and we will say, well, this area we want it to be residential, and we want it to be somewhere between 2 and 5 homes per acre, and that's just kind of a general goal for that area. And then the particular zoning is not in the comprehensive plan, it's in the Monroe Municipal Code, and there we can designate several different zones within that enveloped area, say R4 or UR 9600. So as I understand this process to be, there's a lot of detail in both North Kelsey and in downtown that really belong just in, I guess you would say, the Monroe Municipal Code.
That's
and
right.
The overall goals are what belong in the comprehensive plan. It's more general and more encompassing, not quite as detailed, though it is specific about goals. And so what we're doing is removing all those details out of the comprehensive plan, taking the overall goals of both of those areas and having just those remain, if you will, in the comprehensive plan, and having it be more how it's legally supposed to be, I guess you could say, or specifically intended to be. Is that correct?
Real quick, on the back wall, right behind it, there's a comprehensive plan. That's the land use map. The map on the left is a zoning map, but the map on the right is probably the single most important piece of the comp plan because it drives almost everything else in that plan. But it tends to stay fairly general.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, any comments or questions? Dave?
I'll hold my comment until the public testimony is done. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else here that didn't get a chance to put their name on a list to want to make a comment about this particular project?
No,
yes, ma'am. Go ahead. If you could give us your name and address for the record, please.
Diane Elliott, 15550 174th Avenue Southeast, Monroe.
Thank you. Did you promise that the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do. I just have a question, though, regarding the North Kelsey development and the current appeal process, and questioning whether or not it's premature to do any rezoning of that area at this time, a restructuring of the comprehensive plan. What if Walmart decides not to build here? What if they let the sales agreement expire and go someplace else?
Thank you. Paul, is there anything you would like to address on
that? Well, I can try and respond to that. At Walmart, you know, there's nothing guaranteed until it actually happens. Walmart may or may not happen. NextCor, the medical offices, may or may not happen. NextCor is definitely a very strong possibility. Walmart is, you know, based on the decision of the court. But in the way that it has already developed, the land that is remaining makes it difficult to try and build that vision as it was originally thought of and how it was envisioned. There are conditions that make that difficult, if not impossible, to enact. And then in my own mind, there are some direct competition between North Kelsey and downtown in terms of what the scale of those projects should be, and you know how many civic center, town centers can we have in Monroe? I mean, downtown is the traditional true civic center and central place for Monroe. North Kelsey is a much larger scale. It's an important commercial shopping district that serves a different purpose. But in a nutshell, the way it's built now makes it difficult to try and go back and begin to reconstruct that vision from 2001.
All right, is there anyone else wishing to make a comment on the North Kelsey project? All right.
Clarification.
Sure, Dave.
Did we in fact divide the North Kelsey from the downtown for the purpose of this hearing? Or should the public be better for downtown as well, or is any desired?
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. Yes, also this does affect downtown and the downtown master plan, as we are going to be pulling that from the comprehensive plan and just having some goals that are yet to be determined left in the comprehensive plan. Is there anybody wishing to make any comments on North Kelsey or downtown regarding this project? Go ahead. If you could just give us your name and address real quick.
Diane Elliott, 155-50-174th Avenue, Southeast Monroe.
Thank you.
In the North Kelsey plan, part of the pedestrian-friendly stipulation was so that there would be a corridor which would link it from North Kelsey to downtown, because downtown is like one block long, and this way it would be incorporating this entire greater downtown area.
Thank you. Commissioners, any comments or questions on this? All right. Is there anyone else wanting to make any comments in the audience tonight? Thank you. With that, I would entertain a motion to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Rodman, seconded by Commissioner Demarest. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now, the public hearing has not yet been closed for the evening, and we usually, what we do is, I guess, clarify anything, have any questions answered, and then we close the public hearing, if I understand correctly, and then we have some discussion for amongst ourselves. Dave, do you understand that to be the same? Do you do that way, or?
That's certainly the way it tends to work, but we have an action required. There isn't an action out tonight, no. I understand. So I don't know that it makes a whole lot of difference either way. I would defer to planning staff to any preference they have. Do that, Paul.
Well, I think the proper procedure would be to close the public hearing.
Yeah.
We will initiate a new separate public hearing in about several weeks from now.
Yeah, it does make sense since we won't be making action. So I would entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll move that the public hearing be closed.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Demarest, seconded by Commissioner Sherwood. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Commissioners. Commissioners, any comments, questions, or opinions?
I would like a clarification. In the previous time, Paul Popelka, you said that the... and you've said it again tonight, but the question of pulling the downtown and the North Kelsey plan out of the comp plan doesn't have anything to do with what is or isn't going on there as much as it has to do with shoring up what the comprehensive plan is supposed to look like. And you said earlier that it should be more general, and those, the downtown plan and the North Kelsey plan, are specific, and those things should be addressed in the Monroe Municipal Code, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And another aspect of that is the as these two, North Kelsey and downtown, reside within the comprehensive plan, they cannot be changed in any way without going through a comprehensive plan amendment process, which takes a year, year and a half. And I think pulling them also gives us the opportunity to consider changes. We are retaining the design guidelines. There may be things we might consider for North Kelsey to reflect the way that it is being built. The downtown master plan is several years old. It may warrant over time or additional time some thought about, are there other changes that may be appropriate at this point, especially in light of the fact that we're now taking resources from North Kelsey and trying to reinvigorate downtown with those resources.
So this action doesn't have anything to do with whether or not Walmart comes?
No. It does in a way that it, if Walmart happens, it just promulgates the large-scale, big-box auto-dependent shopping experience. But in itself, as I said, that the way that that this has developed and that the way the market continues to evolve, I think Walmart or something of that scale is probably inevitable for North Kelsey. So no, I don't think there's a direct. There is a relationship certainly, but it's not a case where if Walmart, if there was no Walmart, we stop this idea.
Okay, I just want to make sure that the decisions or the recommendations that we make have to do with policy, and it's not just because, well, here's what happened and we don't really have any other choice. You said before that those two plans don't belong in the comp plan anyway, so that should be done to make the comp plan more correct. So I want to just make sure that I understand that right.
That's correct. I think that's correct.
Thank you.
And if I may, Paul, the other side of this, like with downtown, is because we're removing that from the comprehensive plan, what has to be put in is some stated goals in the comprehensive plan. And so we have to word some goals, basically, to put in there for downtown, hopefully being able to use the downtown master plan as a guide for those goals.
Right.
And as I understand it, there is one goal currently in the master in the comprehensive plan regarding North Kelsey, and we will actually be, if I understand, wanting to modify that goal because that goal, part of that goal, is mixed-use development, and there's been discussion about pulling that portion out of the comprehensive plan amendment. So, in a way, we are the second half, I guess you could say, of this project, this comprehensive plan amendment, is to modify the goals and what it looks like based on what has been happening.
I think for North Kelsey, it would be useful to consider changing, modifying the goal and the subsequent North Kelsey sub-area plan. The policy may still, hold, has some meaning to it, in that we do continue to develop in accordance with the North Kelsey plan as we see it changing from its original vision, and certainly in tune with the downtown area subplan, which I think it's basically going to remain intact. But I think part of our intent is to go into the downtown master plan, directly pull language and back into the comp plan in the form of goal or goals and policies that establish that presence in the comp plan. Downtown is a place in the comp plan, much like North Kelsey has on an even greater scale, I think.
So if I may, with as far as downtown goes, the master plan, we have to come up with some goals to put in the comprehensive plan. But for North Kelsey, there currently is a goal, and we're looking at modifying that. Is that mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Commissioners? Dave?
Paul, the City of Monroe comprehensive plan has, I think, the 7 state-mandated elements. And you probably listen better than I can, but I seem to recall that there were 7, some of which you mentioned earlier this evening. My understanding has always been that under GMA, growth management planning has also allowed the inclusion of sub-areas in one's comprehensive plan. Certainly, I think Snohomish County has done that. Probably did it under Mr. Saxon's tenure to some degree. He says no. Won't take any responsibility for that. The City of Monroe has a few sub-area plans, these being 2 of them. We also have the North Hills, in the Milwaukee Hill area, chain link growth. As I understood it, those plans were developed for a reason, because they recognized that these were somewhat unique parts of the city. They were unique geographically, they were unique potentially as far as use goes, unique in any number of ways, and as such they merited greater attention than just including them in the comprehensive plan as a whole. And out of that thought process came the idea of the sub-area plans. Am I hearing you say that those aren't legal under growth management anymore? or have they just become a less appealing way of planning?
Well, I don't believe it is strictly legal in terms of the intent of the state law, which is originally going way back in history, mandated by the federal government. But the difference is that in adopting North Kelsey downtown plan into the comprehensive plan, as the city has done, it incorporates so much that that are regulatory, not policy, but regulatory, that goes beyond the scope and the intent of the comp plan. I think the trick is to retain the right information and that sets the policy. Like the shoreline chapter, for example, did adopt the shoreline master plan, but it specifically excluded the regulatory sections, which belong in the enforcement tools, the zoning ordinance. So it's been done two different ways. And the way the shoreline plan was done was much more the appropriate way to reference and document a sub-area. We call it a sub-area plan, although it's citywide, the same principle. But now I believe that there is basically, simply put, in a simplistic way, there is no place in the comp plan for rules and regulations.
Thank you. We have another staff member here, and you're welcome to sit up here if you like. We don't like, but
I just had a quick comment.
Yeah.
The problem isn't so much with the comp plan. If you read the comp plan, you won't know that the North Kelsey plan and the downtown plan are fully embedded regulatory language inside the comp plan. The problem is with the enacting ordinance. When the ordinance was drafted to adopt the comprehensive plan, there was language inserted into the ordinance that basically said the North Kelsey plan shall be incorporated in whole as attached. The downtown plan shall be incorporated in whole as attached. And it didn't delineate the regulatory language or the plan language that was inside of those two documents. It just adopted the whole document directly into the comprehensive plan. Hence, we have documents that are almost 10 years old and time has moved along. And in order for us to affect any changes, changing the sign dimensions, doing a variance for a building structure, changing the architectural facade, changing the streetscape, requires a comprehensive plan change. So what we're trying to accomplish here is decouple the error that was made in the ordinance, the enacting ordinance, and leave the policy language portion of the North Kelsey plan, the policy language of the downtown plan, by reference in the comprehensive plan, but leave the documents outside so they can be adjusted as time moves along. And that's really what this exercise is all about. It's not about changing the North Kelsey plan. It's not about changing the downtown plan. It's about putting them back in the place where they should have been to begin with. If that makes sense.
It does. So I guess if I may, does that then not change the goal, or will be for, like, say, North Kelsey, where it says vibrant mixed-use development, provide a visible, accessible commercial and civic town center, is that something that is envisioned to be maintained, or is that something that in this process we will also modify the goals? Is that...
Well, I think in this case, the goal, civic town center, you're not going to be able to achieve a civic town center at North Kelsey. So the goal does need to be updated. The policy where it talks about, objective design guidelines as specified in the North Kelsey sub-area plan will still exist, and in the downtown sub-area plan will still exist. However, those documents won't be comprehensive plan elements anymore.
Right.
They'll be part of the Monroe Municipal Code. So as the code changes, the comp plan says we should still address those plans, however they're changed in the future.
Great. Thank you. Commissioners? Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Saxon. I understand where you're coming from, though I don't know that the people that did at the time felt that they were doing it wrong. So there may just be some different opinions here. I think that one of the reasons it may have been done was to make the desired end result less vulnerable to change, and that it couldn't be done in a 60-day or 90-day rezone process. It required a much more, should I say, comprehensive process to get a change to what was thought was where the city wanted to go. And that's, people could probably have a discussion about that all day long, and we're not going to do that here tonight. Shouldn't we be applying the same line of thought to the North Kelsey or the North Hill area? I mean, that's a subway plan that I believe incorporates regulatory aspects, and maybe that's where staff's thinking that we will end up going. I guess for me, I would like to see what perhaps would be a strike through. I would see what it is that's going to be taken out, what isn't going to be taken out, what staff anyway envisions as being the correct policy language, and whether it's in a standalone document called the subarea plan or incorporated into the comprehensive plan, that probably doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. I know it's in the comprehensive plan, there will be a subsection instead of perhaps a subarea plan. I reflect back to the joint meeting we had with council here a month and a half ago, whenever it was, and part of the rationale and justification for the, I'm going to say, undoing of the North Kelsey plan in some respects was that there were going to be certain things that were desired in that plan and envisioned that plan were going to be taken to the downtown and done in the downtown area, which I think may have all kinds of merit. I just don't see any way being proposed at this point that that will happen. And it's really hard for me to accept a removal based on a substitution if I don't see the substitution. And so you're going to have to help me through that process a bit. I guess out of my comments, the most important thing for me coming back here in 2 weeks will be I need to have something in front of me that I can help evaluate. And I know that the public, in order to adequately comment on it, is going to have something in front of them. Certainly, I think before we get to any recommendation of any sort, or even feedback to the council, we've got to have that. So today is the 12th. You have, I guess, 2 weeks to do that. I look forward to seeing it. We can talk further. Thank you.
So our next step is the work that we have barely begun yet, but have begun, is to really flush this out and get specific about what is coming out, what should come out, and some guidance on what should come back in. But getting right to your point, yes, bring me something I can sort of understand what's being proposed.
Great. Thank you. Commissioners, any other comments? Jeff?
Yeah, Paul. Are you saying in this that there's language in the comp plan that's identical to what's in the municipal code in regards to regulatory issues, and you're just getting rid of some things that are redundant, or are there things having to do with design guidelines and all that just flat don't belong there and need to be added to the code?
There is redundancy between the comp plan and the zoning code. Zoning code does, by reference and by distinct language, incorporate the design guidelines for downtown and North Kelsey in as part of the zoning code. It's fairly explicit.
So if folks who are looking at developing the office building never consulted the comprehensive plan, just went to the zoning code, they would find enough information there to understand what constraints they would be under in regards to design of that facility.
Right. If someone is looking to build a commercial center in the general commercial zone, they would never touch the comprehensive plan in terms of the what exactly they need to do in order to get that project built.
But if they did go with the comp plan, they would not find conflicting language that will cause them issues in regards to moving forward.
not conflicting language, but they would find the policy language, but they would also find the same design guideline and regulatory language in the comp plan by reference.
So your intent is to strike that which is redundant.
Right.
And then move to, if there's going to be changes in the goals and policies, that's completely separate issue.
Comp plans, policies, and big picture. Zoning code is very specific. It is exactly as best it can be described how you may proceed. Comp plan is all about how you should, but not exactly how.
Okay. Thank you.
Dave?
Paul, I appreciate that distinction, but at the same time, a comp plan, if something is truly important to a community, can say shall. Correct?
There are, in the later sections of the plan where it talks about implementations, like this policy, ensure that new development meets the goals and objectives. It's not, it doesn't say the new development should, where possible, if the sun is shining, comply with the design guidelines. It says you will comply with the design guidelines, which is regulatory, but it's an action. Go forth and comply with this, with the guidelines that are established in this other plan. Since it can be a fine line, but it should not be getting to specific requirements and design guidelines. It shouldn't be down to the signages, 1 foot per single foot of lifeline frontage.
Thank you. Mr. Sachs.
One of the things that the council struggles with is in the current North Kelsey plan, we have this civic town center, and part of that civic town center talks about a 1,000-person gathering area in a community center. And that's never been defined. It's never been platted out. It's never been voted on by council. So when someone comes, Nordstrom comes and wants to buy 8 acres of property, REI wants to buy 8 acres, North Bed Bath and Beyond wants to buy 8 acres of property, where is that open space? What's available for sale? And the plan says it has to be there. But it hasn't been defined. And that's the conundrum that the commercial real estate folks have, both buyers and sellers, in marketing that property, is the plan's very specific, but it's not defined in any way. And part of that has to do with the council can't just make rash decisions on... The council cannot, without a comprehensive plan change, say there won't be an open space in North Kelsey. I mean, really, that's a very big piece of the puzzle. So those are things that once the plan is severed by ordinance, then it's no longer part of the comprehensive plan. It's part of the North Kelsey sub-area plan as incorporated in the Monroe Municipal Code, and it can be changed. And council has more flexibility in how that property is marketed and sold.
So is it also then safe to assume that the city council can't say this piece of land will be that community center except through comprehensive plan amendment? Is that...
Well, council could do that, but they haven't.
And they would have to do it through comprehensive plan amendment. Is that correct?
They could.
Yes.
At any time. Yeah.
Okay. So to remove it, or even to be detailed and say this is where it's going to be, they have to go through comprehensive plan amendment. So moving this out of comprehensive plan amendment, it sounds like they'll probably remove it, is my guess, but they could, in fact, then in an easier way implement something like that if they wanted to. Is that...
That's correct.
Thank you. Dave, I kind of jumped in on you there. Sorry.
The plan calls for that space. Granted, it's not identified as to where physically it shall be. The city owns the property. They have the ability to meet the goals and policies of the plan if they desire to. I don't see how that would require a comp plan if they were to say, we want to take 1 acre out of here and make this our future civic gathering spot. Excuse me, the plant comm currently enables that, and they could do so. They own the property.
But if they don't want to do it, can that happen?
And that's perhaps the reason why it was put in there, so that it didn't become such a political football. One year it is, one year it isn't. Goes back to my earlier thought.
Thank you.
Commissioner? You don't want to jump in on this?
No.
Thank you.
Staff, anything else on this? I know we'll be coming back in a couple weeks on this.
No, I don't think so.
Great. Thank you. How are we doing, commissioners? We ready to jump on and all in one shot here? Does anybody need a break?
I'm good to go.
I'm good.
Yeah,
all right. Well, I guess we'll move on to our workshop. CPA 2012-01, First Airfield Comprehensive Plan Amendment. And thank you for sticking around, folks. Paul, I'll go ahead and turn this over to you.
Mr. Chairman, before we go to staff, could I just make a quick disclosure? And this is only because there might be some in the audience wondering. I was talking with one of the gentlemen in the audience before the meeting started. I know him professionally. He said he was here because he had an interest professionally in the airport, and he shared very briefly what that interest was. And beyond that, I know nothing about what he's doing, his clients, or anything else. So I just wanted to get that out on the record.
Great. Well, thank you. Paul, go ahead.
Thank you. We talked about this at our last meeting. And the focus of that meeting was to discuss the definition of limited open space airport. This is the outline of the airport area, the comm plan area. The applicant would like to revise some existing land uses that are out there to bring in, bring these. There's some service commercials, some parks open space. There's some special regional use, which is a kind of a unique zone. A little bit of residential. We'll bring those all under the umbrella of limited open space airport, or basically airport land use. That's the objective of this application. But we do not have a definition of limited open space airport, or LOSA, or let's just call it airport. We do not have a definition of airport land use in the comprehensive plan. So part of our charge is to come up with that definition, which includes some basic description, and I've revised what we had from the last meeting, to describe the general intent of what this zone is for, what may be allowed. And then the zoning code, and so it basically sets the policy, like we've been discussing. And then the zoning code prescribes very specifically what uses are allowed. It takes the intent of the policy and comp plan and translates that into black and white. So, whoops. Can't quite see it all.
Give me 1 second.
Use that. The first part of this, first half of this, is it remains the same from our last discussion. Basically says that the purpose of this land use is to protect the airport. It's a central public facility, and it accommodates aviation primarily aviation and aviation uses, and it also accommodates, in the interest of viability and sustainability, incorporates or allows non-aviation uses. And as you would expect, aviation includes things like, and this is where I got a little more generalized in this comp plan description, with the intent to get much more specific in the zoning aspect of it. There are two separate things, but we can talk about them both tonight. That the aviation facilities include administration and training, which would be operations offices, it would be potentially flight school, other training. It includes offices, hangars, whether they be common hangars or executive hangars, but that aspect of facilities that directly service and store airplanes, supply and maintenance facilities. You know, without getting specific about things like fueling or, I don't know, outdoor storage for spare parts, whatever it might be. But then, so those are all aviation-oriented, aviation uses. But then non-aviation uses, I saw as a way to generally describe some potential areas of use would be food service, like restaurants or restaurant, and compatible uses, and these are all uses that do not directly impact aviation operations. If I'm going to do something that impacts the ability to operate the prime purpose of this place, being airport operations, then I should not be able to apply that use. But food service and other uses that are compatible with aviation uses, including commercial recreation. He's created this general category of commercial recreation. Tourism-related uses and a catch-all of other supporting facilities. Rather than trying and get specific in the comp plan about things like museum or special purpose garages, hobby repair garages, or man caves as they've been sometimes called, or specific uses, those feel like they have a better home in the zoning code. And I did, oops. Give me 1 second here. List, maybe you can see this on the full screen. Oops. I did list the uses that are permitted now in our current zoning code as eligible uses within the limited open space airport. And it includes aviation uses, which you would expect, but a number of other uses, some of which are qualified. Like a professional office is an allowed use. No immediate restrictions. Transportation, warehouses. There are other uses that are allowed as and permitted as an accessory use. Say, for example, a restaurant. And a restaurant or a parking area as an accessory that is secondary to the principal use. In this case, I guess I would interpret the principal use as the airport, but that they are somewhat secondary or subservient to that principal use. It includes things like parking. You cannot go out there and build a parking ramp to serve the North Kelsey shopping district because they're not related. But parking for the airport or parking for other uses that are at the airport, that's an accessory use. That's, you know, perfectly fine as a permitted use. But some other uses that qualify as accessory are storage, fire station, bed and breakfast. There's a listing for a motel. And we've talked about the possibility of including the hotel as a potential use, restaurant, pharmacy. These are all things that are qualified as accessory, not explicitly as a principal use. So the discussion that I'd like to get into tonight is partly this definition, if this meets, establishes enough basis in the comprehensive plan for policy, and then if and what sort of changes should we consider to this, either to add, remove, revise, to get more specific about what those uses are. Museum, for example, is not listed in this list. That's just not a permitted use in our code as a specifically as a museum. And that would be one possible thing to add to this. Should we, you know, because I think museum could be a potentially a compatible use on the airport. The current zoning code defines hotel and motel, but they're basically the same thing. And they need to be combined into one definition. And hotels are now permitted only, I believe, only in general commercial. I don't think they're allowed anywhere else. The applicant was looking for, executive hangars, flight school, restaurant, hotel. There was some earlier discussion about multifamily. Flight school, did I mention that?
It's a government.
Man caves. Or personal recreation, you know, garage. Then you can call them condominium garages, but high dollar garage and hobby shops, I guess you call them.
Executive hangers.
And executive hangers, which is distinct from pure storage, normal, what I call normal hangers. That would have maybe some of the same attributes as a NASCAR fan might have a scale hobby, not living but entertainment area in a man cave in a automotive related executive garage. It's like an executive hangar. But that's the direction that I have been taking here recently to try and limit the comp plan more toward policy without getting overly specific, and then deliberately get very specific in the zoning code aspect, because the intent being that we would activate a rezoning process as well, so that we can take action and deal with both the comp plan and the rezoning simultaneously. So let's have some discussion.
Commissioner Dave?
Thank you, Paul. Is it fair to say that the broader the definition of LOSA is, the less predictable future use becomes because of the ease of changing the zoning code relative to changing the comp plan?
Sorry, say that again.
I'm sorry.
I thought I had it, but
your proposing language is fairly broad here as policy language. And just I can give you an example. I look at tourism-related uses, which is near the very end of your definition, your suggested definition. You commented that in the zoning matrix, museums are not allowed in the LOSA zoning. It's not an identified use. Certainly one could make the argument later that, well, a museum is a tourism-related use, and it seems to me that then it would be hard for the council to say no to a rezone or change the land use zoning matrix and allow museums. So, by making this definition very broad, does it in fact decrease predictability as to the future use and character of the airport?
Decrease predictability? No, I don't think so. It becomes a matter of words and semantics, but I try to limit it to some extent. Of food services is pretty straightforward. Try to limit it to trying to find the right word, the commercial recreation, that's probably the broadest term that I have in there. Because it could take many different forms. Tourist-related uses is, I think, is a little more defining than commercial recreation. Commercial recreation could be virtually anything, but the intent there is to establish that there could be private recreation uses, privately owned recreation uses related to these man caves primarily, and the executive hangars. They are related to transportation, but the tourism-related uses being the typical things that spin off. When you think of airport, you think of accommodation, you think of food service, you think of, in many cases, more industrial production-related. We've looked at other communities, and there's quite a prevalence of things like industrial uses, manufacturing, fabrication, warehousing, that heavy industrial. I don't know that we want to necessarily promote dirtier uses at the airport, being so close to the fairgrounds and the main and keeping it more toward tourism, recreation related, not so much hard-nosed, non-aviation production. I'm talking in circles here a little bit, but
it's okay. I've done it all night.
Commercial recreation. That, I'm looking for the right words that could open that door for a variety of recreation uses, but then using the zoning code to be explicit about what they are. It's always subject to interpretation. It's difficult to find a place in the zoning code where you might interpret it allowing a museum as a pretty unique use, for example.
Tourism. You were asking about tourism, not the commercial, right?
I was, yes.
Amusement park would be a commercial recreation use that I don't think should be in the zoning list. It's pretty people intensive, per capita people intensive, per square foot intensive.
Yeah. You don't think it should be there. But who's to say that a council form anyway, in response to an app can come before saying it should be. Councilman decides, yeah, it should be. And to me, the comprehensive plan is our guiding document. Mm-hmm. It's going to help define what the character of the city is, of an area is, of a special use area is. And if we don't define it there, it gets really wide open to the swing of month-to-month politics almost. And that scares me a little bit, because you lose the predictability. And I think that's a concern. But my real concern here, and it goes back to what I said last time we talked about this, and I don't see it in your definition, is that whole question of balance of use. The whole justification behind this is helping preserve First Airfield as an essential public facility and making it economically viable as an airport. Fair statement, I think. I see the applicant there nodding his head, or the property owner, I should say. And if I drove by Snohomish, by Harvey Field the other day. It was dark, but there's enough light out there. And I think that's probably a very, as a small airport goes, quite a successful operation. And certainly there's no question in my mind that is first and foremost an airport. They've got supporting businesses going on there for the airport. They've got hangar space. They've got fuel. They got a lot of activities. They got a flight school that's very active. But I noticed as I drove by that a bunch of the hangars, at least the ones I could see from the road, are in fact storage facilities. They've got RVs. They've got boats. And I don't know whether those folks are willing to pay a little more than an airplane owner, perhaps. I have no idea. Or maybe there just aren't enough airplanes out there to fill the hangars. I've always heard of the contrary. I've heard there's a shortage of hangar space. If you look at Harvey Field, you wouldn't see that. At least not from my perspective, someone driving by. So I may sound like I'm harping on it, but again, my understanding of this proposal is preserving this as an essential public facility and helping ensure the economic viability of it as an airport. And when we get a broad definition in here that allows non-airport uses, I worry if we don't include, and I think it has to be in the comprehensive plan, if we don't include something that talks about balance of use there. And those are my words, I just kind of came up with them. But I think it talks, it conveys what I'm talking about. So I've got to feel more comfortable about that, Paul, and I'm not hearing it yet. I'll yield the floor for you.
I did have a question along those lines as well, and it wasn't so much balance of use, but I'm looking at some of the permitted uses and wondering if there is any limitation on if a motel is allowed, or a motel is allowable, or if five motels are allowable. That's, you know, I'm wondering about that too, and only because I'm for private property. You know, if someone wants to use their property, but only because what we're saying here is that it is supposed to be aviation related. So I don't have a problem with a restaurant, and Harvey Airfield comes to mind, but I got a mental picture of, like, you know, six or seven restaurants out there. I don't know what the space is like, but that would be what we are wanting to do. So just to make sure, like what Dave is saying, I would point out, just because the definition, the hangar, is spelled with an A when it's referring to the airplane, so that should be changed.
But, as opposed to a closet.
Yeah, as opposed to a closet hangar. But I do have questions along those lines too.
And Wayne, you're going to be next, but I think before we move further, I think we are supposed to take a vote on whether or not to go past 9 o'clock. I have a feeling we probably will. So I would entertain a motion to extend our meeting beyond 9 p.m.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
A motion made by Commissioner Demarest, seconded by Commissioner Rodlin, to extend the meeting beyond 9 o'clock. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Wayne, go ahead.
Okay. I'm sure the Snowmies has a zoning for aircraft. I'd like to see what they have to say in there. But not it doesn't have to be. Anyway, on the museums you're talking about, as long as you put air museum there, you have no problem. You won't have car museums and stuff like that. But if you put air museums there, it might be passable for my part. But I kind of would like to hear what Snohomish has on their zoning for aircraft. I've never seen it, but I know I've rented hangars over there, and I could park my camp pickup and camper in there when I didn't have my airplane there, and nobody said a word about it, so I don't know what their zoning is on that.
Thank you, and we will most likely open the floor to public comment soon. One thing I wanted to say, I understand where Commissioner Demers is coming from by having it being too loose. I think, you know, in my mind, what would satisfy me is that kind of that middle sentence, the designation shall protect the airport from incompatible uses and development to sustain its long-term viability, and I would almost add, as an operating airport or something to that effect, because then at that point you couldn't build so many motels that it would all of a sudden no longer be usable as an airport, and then it all of a sudden becomes something else. And as far as, real quick, not to get too far off track, the definitions for hotel and motel, I've always envisioned them as being, a motel is when you enter the facility from outside. Hotel, that's always, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so I guess those are my little comments.
I had the same thought in hotel mode. That, well, I always thought of just what you said.
Okay. Well, there's a hallway.
There's a lot of rear between what you call a hotel versus, say, motel. And a hotel, in our definition, the code has a mean space and mausoleum and restaurant.
And I think you had mentioned that hotel is only allowed in commercial, but if I remember correctly, I think it's not actually allowed in commercial. I think our two hotels over by Alfie's Pizza over there, I think are actually non-conforming uses at this at the moment. I could be wrong, but I think I saw that. Well, that doesn't
I'm not sure I'm remembering it correctly.
I remember looking at where they're allowed. I thought it was very strange. Dave?
Paul, can you help me with how we would consider pharmacy to be an accessory use?
Pharmacy as an accessory use. Yeah, how is a pharmacy an accessory in an airport operation? That's a good question. There's some oddball uses in this, and pharmacy is one. Actually, dwelling single family, I think, is one of any number of dwellings.
Could it be an existing right now, though? Is that
the dwelling has a footnote on it. It's permitted only to the extent that it already existing. No new dwellings have no one to allow.
And in fact, all of these uses are subject to conforming with the Chambers and Chamber 1860, the airport overlay zone requirements, location, height, and so forth. So that applies to all of these. But some of these uses are, you know, coffee shop I can see. Seem like a natural as a to have a place in an airport operation. Pharmacy, I'm not so sure.
Paul, while you're looking that up, I want to go back to Dave's concern that this list not being in the comprehensive plan, and I don't think he's suggesting that it should be, could easily be changed by the whim of just a few council members. Is that, if I understand correctly, traditionally, not necessarily required, but traditionally when there's a change in the land use, doesn't that usually go through, or I should say the zoning, doesn't that usually go through planning commission and public hearings and stuff? I mean,
yes.
And is it required, I guess, would be the second half of that. Can council just make a decision?
Yeah. No, any zoning action has to go to council by way of the planning commission.
And then does it also require a public hearing? Like if we were to all of a sudden, you know, if the council said, hey guys, we want you to work on adding, you know, an amusement park to the LOSA, would that require a public hearing and that kind of thing, do you know?
I'm trying to recall if we had, I'm thinking that a public hearing is not mandated, not required for a zoning code, maybe like a text change. I believe it is for a rezoning to dealing with the zoning district, but I don't believe it is for a text. This would be an example of a text change.
So this would be more of a change in a permitted use within a zone? Is that something that would require a public hearing?
That's a code type change. I don't think it requires a public hearing.
Okay, gotcha. So if we were to change the zoning, it would require more process, but just right. Whether or not something is allowed or becomes it from accessory to flat out permitted, right, could easily be done in a much easier way.
If we wanted to add an amusement process park to this list, it would be a commission recommendation to council, but it would not involve a public hearing or any extensive public outreach.
Okay. Bridget,
yeah,
go ahead.
I have a comment on that, though. While we're here and while we're serving in a position, it's our, you know, we're looking at the right here and the right now, but I don't think it's the intention for the design of any commission to set something in place that, because we want it to be this way forever, that's the way it has to be. And it is the prerogative of the council to change what they want to change if they have a majority vote. And those council members are mostly voted into office by the people. And I mean, that is kind of the process. So I'd be less worried about future changes and more concerned with that the intention right now for this design is met. And I just would say that I don't want to be concerned about what a future council may or may not be able to do, because that is their prerogative. Just a mayor changes and the governing bodies change. So I mean, that's part of the deal.
Thank you. And I just wanted to make sure I understood the process myself as we look at the comprehensive plan definitions and kind of understanding the process. And
for right now, some of them are, you know, they are kind of ambiguous, and I don't understand some of them. And as far as my input goes, I want to know what I'm talking about and what I'm allowing, and as long as that aligns with the intention. But I definitely don't want to get hung up on what future councils may or may not do.
I agree, and I don't want the desire to, you know, hamstring a council meeting so they can't do anything either. So there's a balance there, and I appreciate that.
Commissioners?
Ma'am?
Yes, thank you.
To save everyone's curiosity, a hotel is permitted. I was mistaken. A hotel is permitted, fully permitted in the downtown Rose and Rails neighborhood on the north edge of downtown. It's permitted as a conditional use in the Al Borland and historic downtown areas, but only in downtown, nowhere else.
Okay.
For a hotel.
For a hotel. Which we have a couple, I think, in our general commercial.
They're like big motels.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Commissioners, anything else on this particular topic?
I'd like to hear comments from the audience.
Great. Yeah, because if no one else has any comments here, we will open up to the audience. Is there anyone in the audience wishing to make comments? Mr. Havoc, if you could just give us your name and address for the record. Probably pick you up better over here.
Yeah, I don't really think I thought we were not doing the quasi legal. That's Daryl Havoc, 1312, 179th Avenue Southeast, Monroe.
Thank you.
Okay. It's very frustrating to sit here and listen to these comments, because by the time you do get your comment...
I don't know if you're grabbing some paperwork. We just can't pick you up on the table.
Oh, you need it up there. Okay.
Yeah, good.
By just the time you get the comment, you forget what all the comments were made. And Dave, you made some really good comments about it, but I kind of tend to agree with Commissioner Tuttle. You can't legislate for 40 or 50 years in the future. By then, we might not even have fixed-wing airplanes. Yeah, I mean, for all I know, we're going to have vertical takeoff things that are levitating. You know, it might not even be an issue. And let alone the fact that we can't figure out, I mean, this airport's been there since 1967. So how many years is that it took to get to this point? And it is a limited space. We can't go in there and put five hotels. I mean, that's crazy talk, you know. But it's a consideration, I know. A museum, you say, well, gosh, but a museum, if it's an airplane museum, and how many airplane museums have cars in them? Yeah, they all do. You know, it's just universal. So it was a use that the actual people at the racetrack considered putting a NASCAR museum, and that's why it got into the discussion, and I can see where it's related. We're right across the street from the racetrack. So, the hotel, I believe the definition is they have meeting rooms. That's the only difference between that and a motel. So the only thing about the pharmacy, and everybody's, oh, gee, well, we've got offices, professional offices. So what if you have a dentist like me or some physicians, and we refer our patients to go to the pharmacy? Well, we have a proximity to the Valley General, and we have proximity to PharmaSave and all that, but, you know, what if you got somebody that flew in there and they're using your services, and I do have that. So, you know, it's just looking at the whole package, and even like we were talking about the North Kelsey Project and mixed use, I'm going, you know, that's as green as it gets. The guy lives upstairs, works downstairs, doesn't put a key in the ignition of a car and fire it up. It just goes down and works. So, you know, some of these things that may come along, I just don't like us at this point to hamstring a potential operation where we're going to really change the way general aviation is delivered. And somebody needs to do it because they're dying on the vine. You know, we're not going to be a pain field. We're not going to be a Harvey field. Harvey Field, in my mind, and I don't want to speak bad of Harvey Field, except that they are in the floodplain. We're not. And it kind of grew up like a weed, and we're not. It's going to be an organized process. It's aesthetic. It's a draw for the community. It's a good access to Monroe. You know, all these things are kind of in the back of our minds when we're putting this together. So I just feel like some of our fears about, we can't allow it. It should be for its intent now. And if it goes beyond that, Commissioner Tuttle, you're right. It's another council, another day. 40 years from now, it's not going to be our ideas. Found that out. So that's my only comment about it. And I just hope that we can move through the process. And I think July 3rd is our date.
It's our target date for final action.
Yeah. Anybody have any questions for me?
Mr. Haddock, I don't think I ever mentioned hotels, but
yeah.
Thank you for your comments, and I appreciate what you have to say. Any comments on the definition as the staff has written it?
No, I think viability is important, and I know for a fact, having been there, it's tough as just an airport. I tried to sell it to the city of Monroe. They don't want it. When I was a full-time dentistry, really, you know, knocking out some pretty good money, I could afford to subsidize it. As a standalone, it's tough. So we need some of these auxiliary things that are related that will help it go. And I really believe we've got a little pearl here that nowhere else in the state of Washington, maybe the whole United States, could be what we could be. It's that kind of thing where you get into women in aviation. Nobody's tapped into that. You get into teaching people in a different manner, you know, where you really have an organized process that for teaching general aviation and all the related things, and get into the colleges where they're going to get college credit. You know, there's a lot of those kinds of things that have not been addressed and could be. So I think the definition's fine. I just, you know, of course, I'm looking at it from a standpoint of you want to do all these things, but don't tie your hands behind your back at the beginning, kind of, you know. But I kind of like the idea of if you're going to be really regulatory, you get it in the zoning, not the comprehensive.
Okay. Okay. My apologies to Mr. Doctor.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
And the other comment, and we've heard earlier this evening how our plans don't seem to be lasting one decade, let alone four decades.
Yeah. I know. You know,
we're not talking 40 years out for change on these plans. We're talking every 5 years and less for plans to come back and be revisited as to see whether they're still viable themselves.
Right. And, you know, it's just like we were talking about the bypass. You know, I'm surprised they're still even talking about it. I have all the diagrams of the Westwick interchange and how it will affect the airport, and you know, we've already got a display threshold for that, allowing a 25-to-1 glide ratio over the top of that off ramp. And now I don't know, is it ever going to get built? We can't predict.
Wes, are you going to be on this school, flight school? Are you going to be the instructor there?
Am I going to be? Yeah. I'm too old and too tired, but. You can get just some really fantastic young men that are college graduates and are ready to go.
You used to do it.
Oh yeah, I did.
In the garage.
Yeah. Thanks, Wayne.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I kind of agree with you, David. In terms of some sort of balance, so that it doesn't become an encumbrance to the airport. These other uses. I'm not sure how to kind of quantify that balance, but one thing to just come to mind in terms of a changing a word, where it says uses including commercial, recreation, tourism-related uses, What about personal recreation as opposed to commercial regulation? That has a whole different bent to it.
What is personal recreation?
Recreation that is more focused on things like man caves.
Isn't that already in there?
Well, as opposed to commercial recreation, which, you know, could be an amusement park, could be a for-profit. Goodness knows what.
Just take it out.
But more in line of a smaller scale form of personal recreation. Tourism, I mean, you know, there are a number of things that related to tourism, things like museums or some other tourist activities. Museum is going back, the first one that really comes to mind.
I guess my only comment would be, Paul, is that if we put words or phrases in the definition that we don't know what they mean, we better define them somewhere else. Otherwise, we're going to, you, as staff, will be talking about what they mean all day long when they counter in the years to come. You got to have some predictability. You can't have predictability if you don't understand what it says.
I want to reiterate what I said originally in regard to this proposal, and that is the broader the matrix, the better, especially in the comp plan. And the gatekeeper can be, you know, the use matrix in the zoning code. But at some point in time, I think we have to trust that the market's not going to say, well, they built a 100-unit hotel there. I think I'll try to put one on the other side of the runway. It's ridiculous. Okay? So the market, at some point in time, has to be trusted to place constraints that are reasonable while giving whomsoever ends up at the airport some chance in economic viability. Dr. Havoc has said, when I was working full-time as a dentist and bringing down good money, I was able to subsidize this thing. And we're looking at this becoming more of an economic engine. And every time you pull a plug on the economic engine by saying you can't do this and you can't do that and we don't want you to do this, then the viability flounders as well. And so at some point in time, I believe we have to trust that the market will place the things here that are most economically viable. And I certainly see, and perhaps I need to be trained on this issue, that if the third hotel application comes in, the council might have to say, okay, we need to take another look at this. We didn't see this as the Monroe Hotel District. So I think there's just all of these restraints that are in place, processes that will protect this thing from going out of bounds of what we're looking at right now. And so I think we have to exercise reason, trust the market, and allow this thing scale and scope that is fair to the property owners. And like Bridget said, if we have a council that is representing the people and the people don't want the third hotel, there's going to be some noise, and that will be reflected in how they act in regards to this property.
Dave?
I'm not going to talk about hotels. Because I agree, the market's not going to, it's not going to happen. It's a waste of energy and time. But the market, in my mind, is the greatest threat to the survivability of this as an airport. And I think that says it all. If you don't have some parameters, the market may very well just drive this airport out of here. We will see that be something else 5 years down the road, fully permitted and allowed under the zoning, under the comprehensive plan in the zoning code of the city.
I see that as being absolutely no danger whatsoever, because the zoning code is the gatekeeper
that keeps that from happening.
Thank you. Bridget?
And I also think, like I said last time, if the market drives the airport out, I don't know why we would try to protect something that doesn't want to be protected, that, you know, people aren't using. So I'm not as worried about that. But, I, you know, as far as the definition goes, I think the word aviation is adequately incorporated to reflect the intention. And if we need to add aviation in front of some of the words to make it even more, you know, reflective of the intention of having an aviation-related activity area there, then that's fine with me. But looking at it and hearing what the property owner has to say, it seems okay to me.
Thank you. If you could, you could come up to the mic and give us your name and address for the record.
Yeah. My name is Dan Rena, 11809 Nevers Road, Snohomish. And I think that a lot of what I'm hearing is you're splitting hairs here. And I love what you said. It was perfect. It says economically viable and directly supports the airport. And when you split those two apart, it makes a difference. You know, so there is an acid test. And if the you know, like Daryl said, it's taken 45 years to get that list up here from different councils that had and planning commissions. There was a reason why those things got on that list. And so, you know, part of your answer could be, if it's an accessory use that's a concern to this committee, then put a conditional use asterisk on it also. And then it has to go through the process that you're talking about, and it can be an additional gatekeeper to whether that's what drives this or not. But, you know, I you can't forget that we came here with this project on life support. I mean, this town is going to lose its airport. It doesn't work. It's worked through an act of God that some the operator and the owner-operator supported and carried it all this time. And so if you can't make this economically feasible, then it doesn't matter. It's going away anyway. And the rights of a property owner to use this property, you know, he doesn't say that you have to force yourself into bankruptcy just because you own the property. And when it hurts bad enough, you'll stop doing it. So what we've tried to do is put a project together that's attractive not just now, but later. And it's just a lot of these uses that come apart is NASCAR, has that got anything to do with the airport? Absolutely not. Does that directly support the airport if that's a tenant of the airport? Absolutely does. You know, and I mentioned multifamily housing, and I saw everyone's face, you know. and so, you know, because you're picturing all these condominiums and these low-income housing and that, but I didn't mention it for that reason. I mentioned it for the same reason Daryl did, is it would be nice to have that option. What if there's 300 people that work at that airport because, God forbid, it's totally, it's a project that just gains the momentum that I think it's going to gain. And so if you house those people fundamentally on site, and it's, again, you can put restrictions of that, and the, if you look at the topography of the site, it lends itself well to that. There's a housing development right above it. So, and these are all a lot of the pieces that will be ferreted out as the plan goes on part of it, because everything will have an economic acid test. There's nothing going to be built in this project that doesn't make sense economically. If it doesn't pencil, it's not going to be built. And so I just kind of hear the splitting of the hairs, and we didn't propose the project to have a whole bunch of the things stripped away that are already there. And it, you know, there's controls that need to be put in place, and I think that's a lot of what Paul's been trying to do, is that's how to accomplish that and end up with a, you know, a project that's economically feasible. It's viable. It's sustainable. And, you know, the economy's going to change. What people like's going to change. And the project, would, I assume, 10, 15 years from now would change with it. But that wouldn't be through the same set of guidelines. They would have to come, you know, propose what they're going to change to. And at that time, I would think those filters would, and, you know, the cost of change, which is significant, would control that.
Thank you. So, commissioners, any questions for Mr. Reed? Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
I tend to agree with Commissioner Sherwood. And quite frankly, I always like my own ideas. But the incompatible uses and developments to sustain its long-term viability as a working airport, to me, seems appropriate. And then, because we are talking about the comprehensive plan, to me, starting to list things can limit what is allowed, but it also can imply things that really maybe don't, aren't compatible, that are non-aviation. You know, when you say commercial recreation, it seems like it opens the door too much. And to me, it's a matter of saying, you know, development to sustain its long-term viability as a working airport, and then leave it to the zoning designations and the permitted uses, I should say, as to what those compatible uses are, whether they're avionic in nature or not. That's my opinion.
So are we just saying if we think the definition's fine? Is that, what are we doing here?
Well, actually, this being just a workshop, we're giving, hopefully giving
feedback.
Paul some direction.
On the definition?
On not only the definition, but I also think you're probably looking for some of the permitted uses within the zoning, since some I think this is happening at the same time. And I think there's some things on here that are good to question, and I think possibly changing some things from flat-out permitted to accessory or the other way around is also good to think about, maybe adding some things, and I think that's what we're looking for.
So I'm fine with
absolutely.
The definition and, in a broad sense, what's listed. As far as I understand, unless something crazy comes up, then I would reserve the right to change my mind, but for right now, I'm fine.
So as far as the definition goes, you're fine with it as it is worded?
Yeah, you know, except for I want to see hangar spelled correctly.
All right.
But other than that.
Mr. Ed? Yes, sir?
Just a couple things here, a couple suggestions. Incorporating long-term viability as an operating airport, then moving down non-aviation uses that are compatible with aviation operations. That seems to me that, you know, it's hard to define whether or not they impact airport operations. But compatible may be open to some other interpretation.
Except that we said there might be some auto uses, and so I wouldn't want to limit that as far as the executive hangar. Is that what we're calling the man caves or whatever?
Executive garages.
Yeah, because that is not specifically an aviation use, but it is compatible with the airport.
Right. And the two phrases I'm trying to deal with are commercial recreation and tourism related uses. I'm not sure, like commercial recreation.
Well, if I may jump in again, this says up above, it says operation services as well as non-aviation uses. So that, to me, says you can do some non-aviation uses, and then there's a a little bit of a footnote, if you will, later that says that they shall protect the designation shall protect the airport from incompatible uses and developments to sustain its long-term viability. I can't say, by definition, I would say a man cave is an incompatible use. It's a non-aviation use. It's a non-aviation use, but it's not incompatible, and I think it, as long as it doesn't interfere with its long-term viability as a working airport, I think it would work. But that's why I, again, I always like my own ideas best. Just get rid of the second half of that whole paragraph, my thought. But anyway,
what I would like... Starting where?
With the aviation uses comprise. Just get rid of from aviation uses comprise down. I want to... really get a kind of a direction for staff on the definition and then maybe on the list. But first, Dr. Havoc has I'd like to make some comments.
I just have one comment mainly directed to Paul. There's an airport in California, Vacaville, California, that's called the Nut Tree. And this is distinctive, one of a kind airport. And you land at the strip and they come out with a little train. You know, narrow gauge train, and they take the people into the restaurant, and you know, it's just one of those little catchy things, and I'm not sure that that wouldn't qualify under recreation or something like that. So if you left that open, it was just a thought that came to me, and I kind of feel like this is going to be one of those airports where people are going up to Canada, they'll stop there, they'll stop at First Air, you know. Ride the little train or go to the restaurant or, you know, maybe go spend some money in Monroe.
One of the people from Canada, sir.
Oh, yeah, we want the Canadians.
So if I may, on this definition, Commissioner Tuttle, you are saying that you're satisfied with what it is. Is there any direction you want to try to, anything you would change?
It's for the comp plan, right?
For the comp plan definition.
Yeah, so no, however, taking something out makes it more general, so that's fine with me.
All right. Jeff?
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier in regards to another matter with North Kelsey and downtown, that the second half of the definition gets maybe a little too specific, and I agree with you then. You finish at long-term viability as an operating airport, and that's the end of it. It's very simple, it's very straightforward, it's very much a goal, and the second half gets too specific for this for the comprehensive plan document. So I would endorse just getting rid of the second half, as you said.
Thank you. Dave?
I want to go back to essential public facility. Paul, our definition of essential public facility says any public facility or facilities owned or operated by a unit of local or state government, public or private utility, transportation company, or any other entity that provides public services as its primary mission, and that is difficult to cite. Well, granted, the airport's difficult to cite. Does this definition live up to that, and that it supports, first off, is it consistent with that definition, and are we, in fact, creating something here that does, if the primary mission is identified as being an airport, or does support it as the primary mission? Is this an essential public facility under the city's definition? Or should we just not call it that and call it what it is, and that is that it's an airport, and that it should have the capacity of viable operations, and it should be protected from incompatible uses, etc. That's the way you want to go. Just call the horse a horse. I think we're missing a point here, but
where is that?
It is it's in the definitions in section.
Essential public facility is considered things that public utility services, other public services that are essential to the functioning of the city from a utilitarian point of view, basic services. Transportation is one of them. But whether this truly qualifies as a widespread essential to utilitarian function may be another question. I think it's an important part of the local economy, which we're seeing that the primary purpose of this LOSA is to sustain the airport. The central public facility may be an unnecessary phrase that isn't important to the airport specifically as a commercial venture. As long as we're saying whatever we do, it's in the interest of its viability, which we do see.
Well, if it's not, let's not call it one.
Thank you. Ron, any preference on the definition?
No. I like what you said about eliminate the last half of that with the all the do's and don'ts. And Jeff, I go along with your part of it too, because the main thing is let him build up his business out there so he can make a living at it. And I would take some of the restrictions off.
All right, thank you. And as the comments been made to remove as an essential public facility, and I thought protects First Airfield as a viable airport,
yeah,
something to that effect. And let's staff work that. But
it is an essential public facility.
Absolutely,
and you can't say it's not. So I mean, you're just opening yourself up for a whole myriad of complications and problems with the Court of Appeals and everybody else in the whole universe. You're going to get sued by the FAA. It is an essential public facility as defined under state law. Harrington Field is, Arlington Field is, Bain Field is. Airports are essential public facilities. If you didn't have one in town and you wanted to create one, could you? And that's really the definition right there. It's difficult to site a new airport in the state of Monroe. So that's a rabbit trail, and it's my very strong opinion that that's a dog that just doesn't hunt. And bringing that up is a straw man that's being erected to confuse the issue. So it is an essential public facility. You're dealing with the definition of what a LOSA is, and I don't think it's relevant to the conversation.
All right, thank you very much.
Good.
Commissioners?
Okay.
Good. So, Paul, do you was that clear as mud, or you kind of got an idea of where we're going?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I think I know where we're headed.
Okay. Commissioners, do we want to try to tackle some of these uses that are accessory and special use and call out permitted? Do we want to go through that list, or do we want to give staff some ideas? Jeff?
If we have it, I would like a little more time to go through this list and check the zoning code.
Mm-hmm.
Is it copacetic to talk to Paul outside of this setting about this list?
Okay. You can give him a list if you want.
Sure.
And I would also ask if Dr. Havoc is interested, maybe giving a list, if you're okay with that, Paul, and the commissioner's okay with that, what do you think ought to be permitted? Anyone else, for that matter?
Yeah.
So, Dave?
Paul, I know in many zones, accessory uses are pretty well understood. But I don't know where in our code we define criteria for determining whether something is an accessory use or not. And there are things on this list that are flagged as accessory. When we presume that's accessory to the airport, how do you as staff define, would you define that an application is accessory or not, other than by what's here? What's the rationale behind it?
It's money territory. you can have an accessory structure to a principal building, no matter what the use. When it comes to something like a pharmacy or a motel, are they truly accessory to the, are they dependent on the airport for their viability? Is that motel going to depend strictly on the airport? There are a lot of these cases where, in my mind, the A should be stricken if they're to be allowed. Because it's difficult in this case with the airport, and I see the airport as the principal use. So it limits what may qualify as an accessory to that. So it would put me in a very difficult position trying to make some interpretations down the road.
Probably not where you want to be.
No.
I have a question.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Richard.
That's okay. Is there anything in the proposed use, that the plan that you're trying to implement, that is not on here that we need to consider adding? Or because I know that there, you do have an idea.
For sure.
So can we look into the museum aspect? If it's an auto...
I think special purpose garage is not on there.
Executive hangar, was that what you're...
Executive hangar was another.
So that, I mean, in the idea of facilitating the project, it'd be good to know what those things look like.
We could tailor a list, absolutely. And maybe that'd be
enough. Give that to Paul so he can kind of incorporate those things.
Because you start with something.
And those uses aren't in our comprehensive plan amendment, the presentation that we gave.
Right.
So we can reduce that to just a...
Just in a list format so it goes in.
Now we want to add a train.
Yeah.
Look at the airport without a train.
We do have a train track close by, so that might be really good.
Mr. Rinka?
Yes.
Thank you.
So I think we have some direction on this project. And we will be reviewing this again in the near future. I didn't see a schedule on this particular one.
Well, yes, we will.
So, and then at some point we will be having a public hearing and making a recommendation to council, is that correct?
That's right. Give me one second to find the... North Kelsey. We should bring this back on March 26th. If it's not already scheduled. I don't recall what the schedule was for the first air, but they're pretty much running, seem to running together as we move ahead.
Okay, and then the only thing I would maybe recommend is not having the public hearing on this on April 23rd. We already have two public hearings that night, so. Commissioners, any comments on the schedule?
I do have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Tonight we were going to do a public hearing on the EIS. Will we be doing a public hearing on this EIS as well? Or is it a separate, different process?
I had a chance to talk to the applicant. We did an official determination of significance due to the amount of wetland impacts or mitigation required. So the intent is to prepare a similar phased EIS like was done for Eastman Road. And so we would have to incorporate that public hearing in this process somewhere along the way here. So the answer is yes.
Okay.
I believe the answer is yes.
Thank you. Okay. Commissioners, anything else? Great. Thank you, Paul. We will move on to discussion by commissioners and staff. Paul,
thanks, guys.
Thank you.
No, I don't think I have anything else, we can take a look at the schedule for meeting dates and so forth. And we're going to try and work towards some targets. We still have an ordered amount of time to add this definition and so forth. And as we get into things like the North Kelsey and downtown, we're not going to be able to spend this much time on so few words. even if we had all the time in the world, it becomes counterproductive at some point. But I know we need to try and vet these things as best we can.
Bridget, anything?
No.
Jeff?
No.
Dave?
No.
Nope.
Wayne? I have nothing either. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Sherwood, seconded by Commissioner Tuttle. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Thank you.
Sure, I went up real quick. There was an email that went out about our change to changing the email addresses, going to Google Apps. So we're going to be, what is it, monroelaw.gov, not CI, monroe.ca.us. But you all got an email about that and got some instructions about how to access your new email accounts.
Great. I saw an email about 3 or 4 months ago. Is that the one you're talking about?
No, this came out just, I think, today.
Did that go to our city?
Friday, yeah.
Which no one here uses.
Oh,
I haven't used yet. Yeah, I got to call Denise and get access to the old address, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't
know how to
access it. Okay.
Yeah. So do we need to contact Denise, or can she, actually, is it possible maybe we can call her, or I can...